B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, and to say I'm disappointed would be an understatement. If you listened to the show yesterday, you know my obsession with the Will Smith slap to Chris Rock. And the best, Rich, is that like people are like slowing it down. They're like, look, he never hit him. And you're like, you know, yeah, you hit him right in the face.
Yeah, he did. He admitted it. He released an apology. Some people were willing to die on this insane hill that it was all faked.
It's like if anything happens, there's people that just feel the need to like...
You're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Look at how much smarter I am. I've cracked the code. I figured it out. Well, that's why all these weird-ass like conspiracy theories and stuff are floating out there. Because there's people who you can literally throw facts right in their face. And they're like, no... No, that didn't happen. Well, they admitted it.
Right. And it's, so there's not a lot to talk about today with it.
I mean, other than the apology last night, which came out.
But, I mean, he still couched it with, like, what a study is for, like, protecting his family, which is so stupid.
Well, the best is that there's an investigation right now into it. They're doing an investigation into figuring out how they can stop it. I'm like, what investigation do you need? We saw everything.
Well, it's something to say until you just forget about it, and hopefully everyone else does too, but I refuse to. But the good thing that's coming out of all of this is that people are starting to investigate the term cuck and are starting
it was trending
to...
yesterday, Fred.
Yeah, it was. And there are all these articles like... Like, kind of, like, invent, like, oh, what, where is the origin of the word cuckold and, like, all this stuff? If you don't know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, his wife, was one of his son's friends. She was banging one of his son's friends and dating him and going to events with him. And then made him sit down on her talk show where she just matter-of-factly told him that or told the world that she was doing this, and during it he's all misty-eyed and everything, like he's getting all like sad and which is hysterical that again that like he can't take the joke, but meanwhile, you know, feel free to bang his wife, like, you know, it's all good there.
Well, the one thing too that's so, kind of wild about all this is I love how Chris Rock's been handling this, and that is he hasn't said a word.
No.
So he has been completely missing. As a matter of fact, you know, the first place he's going to make a public appearance is tomorrow night in Boston. I'm not going to that show. I'm going to the next night. I'm going on Thursday.
Good. Well, we had a night to work out the material.
Maybe he will, but this is something I saw yesterday. This is like from like an entertainment report that came out. It said Chris Rock is currently on tour, and one of these ticket websites says it sold more tickets to his shows overnight than it had sold over the past month combined. As a matter of fact, like, you know, the tickets that we bought are going for three times the amount that we bought them for. And a friend of mine was just like, we should just sell them and go to, you know, go to the Encore or something like that. And my opinion on this is that I know I want to see this.
No.
I need to see this.
Yeah, you don't sell this. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity to be in the room. Just an intimate affair with the man who was just involved in the greatest moment in television history.
And he is going to, it's going to continue to build on, I could tell on stage, he's going to start talking about it. And I have a feeling we are going to see some, some of the jokes that maybe he did want to crack.
Well, when he said, keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth. I mean, Rock's brain just had to have gone, because again...
He even said, like, well,
yeah, because we discussed this, is that... So, like, when you're going to present it to... And he improvised the G.I. Jane line, and it wasn't funny, and he said he didn't know she had alopecia, and whatever with that anyway. But, like, But we were talking about this, like, when you're going to present it, one of those things you get with writers, like, you get with, like, your writing team, and that in that room... Knowing that Will Smith was going to be sitting front and center.
Right.
They must have crafted at least 1,000 jokes that they knew they were going to ever use just to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
So he could have fired off Rich 10 minutes of a response to keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth.
Oh, sure.
I mean, all the other things that have been in her mouth.
Just your eyes.
Or perhaps his mouth.
Just use the end of the statement out of your mouth. It's like, oh, boy, here we go.
Because here's what, they're Scientologists, and here's what I know, what I feel like I know. Okay, do you think John Travolta's gay? Do you think, not that do you know, do you think John Travolta's gay?
I mean, there's a ton of evidence.
Okay, fine. So you think, as a person. Okay, so he's Scientologist, and him and Kelly Preston were in that relationship. So my theory on this now, and I'm not alone, is that Will Smith's gay. And that that he can't do anything because he feels like he cannot come out as gay. So meanwhile, his wife is pushing him and pushing him and pushing him into this situation where he is being cucked over and over again. And again, laughing at the joke, saw her roll his eyes, and then thought, "What would real human beings do?"
Sure,
and got away with it scot free. And the more I think about it, they talked to the director of the broadcast of the Oscars, and he's like, "We had no idea what was going on, and we had no idea what to do, and like you know, it wasn't our decision." And he said, "If it was a tape." He said if it was taped, if it wasn't live, they would have kicked him out. Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just because that level of fame, you can get away with anything, and you can go to a Grammy Awards or an Oscar party afterwards, the Vanity Fair Oscar party, and start dancing around with your award mm-hmm. and start hugging Trevor Noah, which adds so much credibility to Trevor Noah now as well, a stand-up comic that is all for the guy who went up and slapped a dude for a joke. So when you
I didn't see that.
Oh yeah. Baby, I spent all day. I was searching for anything. So P. Diddy came out and said that why he did this, I have no idea. But he said that they had talked Chris Rock and Will Smith, and that everything was okay. And then everyone from the Chris Rock camp said no.
There's none of that.
Yeah. It's not okay. It's never going to be okay for Chris Rock on so many levels. The hitting of it is the least of it. It's like you heckled me on national television. Like you heckled me during my act on national television.
Well, you know who else didn't like it? And I had a feeling as I was watching this. So when Will Smith went up on stage, you know, one of the things that he kept leaning on was, oh, man, sometimes art imitates life. The crazy dad, you know, the Serena Williams is, you know, dad, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching this, like, dude, that family's going to be like, don't associate that action with that.
Like now everyone's going to think my dad's going around like punching people in the face.
Yeah, they're
going
to think he's like an abusive father. And so Richard Williams came out with a statement and he said, we don't condone anyone hitting anyone else unless it's in self-defense. In other words, don't you mix up me with what weirdness you pulled on the stage.
You guys never saw that dreck that was King Richard. I had to watch it with my family. The whole thing is, like, that for a majority of the movie is he's training the girls in South Central, and there's mm-hmm. this gang presence, and how he is, like, turning the other cheek to the gang.
Yeah.
And, like, allowing them to abuse him verbally. I mean, it's really weird. I mean, like, a big portion of it is he's allowing them, like, taking their slings and arrows in order to prepare his daughters. He is a dream that supersedes any insults from gang members or anyone else in that nature. So it was a huge gap. But
well, what does Will Smith need more than anything right now? That is for Chris Rock to say, it's cool, man. All is forgiven. And the fact that Chris Rock isn't saying a word is just awesome.
No, he's not. He can't. He can't do that for other comedians. He just can't do it. It's not okay
He sees all of his friends and people in the industry going, dude, that was awful, and now we're worried people are going to do it to us. So Chris Rock is standing his ground, and I love it. I love the fact that he's been doing that.
Well, I've seen a bunch of comedians say, please come up on stage. and they're like, please come up on stage. Just because I tell jokes doesn't mean I'm a joke. If you come up on stage, I'm going to beat the living hell out of you. So, yeah, be careful the comedian that you go up to and think that you're going to take a swing at. But these actors, I mean, they're all insane. They're all insane, and that was the epitome of insanity.
One of our listeners just said, when it comes out that this is a media stunt to promote publicly a publicity for both Smith and Rock, I hope you'll spend as much time admitting that you're wrong. Even admitted Chris Rock is selling more tickets now than in months past. Like, all right. I don't know how you can look.
How so this can, person still thinks
that it was fake.
So Will Smith's best moment of his life, the pinnacle of his career, he ruined to benefit Chris Rock's ticket sales and get the Grammys a little bit more juice.
I hate to break it to you. Will Smith didn't need any more publicity. He was winning Best Actor at the Oscars.
Yes. This
he
whole,
didn't need anything
the
else.
The whole event was for him. And by the way, that would go both ways, because you could go, well, maybe he theorized that by hitting him, he'd come off as a real tough guy. Well, then if you believe that, then Chris Rock would come off as a puss. So either way, one of them loses. Any way that you view it, it happened. It really happened. I don't know why people can't believe that it really happened. And the idea that he went to a Vanity Fair party and Trevor Noah, the big, very, very funny stand-up comedian, hugged him for like 5 minutes and had a conversation with him. The very funny. Well, I mean, I guess Trevor Noah doesn't count because he's never told a joke. He just tells things that people nod their heads at. It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. So I was very disappointed yesterday. There was no further backlash.
Well, I mean, this isn't it for Will. He's going to have to go on some apology tour. You know he's going to. You know it's going to happen. He's going to be, as I said, Oprah's the next stop. He's going to go and do one of those Super Soul Sunday things this weekend. Or it's going to be like, you know, on 2020 or something on Sunday night. He will sit down and he'll talk about that.
And Rich informed us yesterday that in Will Smith's book, he says that he has had sex with so many women.
Oh.
That now, when he's done having sex with them, he can't help but vomit,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know,
mm-hmm.
the sign of a man who's had sex with a lot of women. Because, like, because that's often, I mean,
it's everybody.
Well, I mean,
sure it does.
I mean, look at Hugh Hefner. I mean, he had a vomit bucket next to the bed. I mean, these guys, they get laid so much, their stomach turns on them, and they can't stop puking. That's the funniest thing. I've had sex with so many women. You know what that sounds like to me?
Yeah.
Like a guy who doesn't have sex with women.
Yes. He had sex too much and vomited as a result.
Hmm.
That's from
his
book.
He was just really dehydrated, Fred. That's what it was.
No, he's disgusted. He's disgusted with himself.
He said it's a psychosomatic reaction. I've hooked up with so many women. It was so constitutionally disagreeable to the core of my being that I developed a psychosomatic reaction. I would literally make me gag and sometimes even vomit.
Yeah, that's what happens. He was getting laid way too much. It's on the bottle of Viagra. It's like, be careful.
Huh?
Like if you get laid too much, just know you're going to start vomiting at the very thought of it. The very thought of a nude woman is going to send you into a gagging fit. Boy, oh boy. Oh, I can't stand that guy.
Somebody said, not sure if you noticed, but after the slap, Chris makes a fist with his right hand, getting ready to throw. And listen, I didn't notice that. I mean, I noticed almost everything. I've watched a thing like the Zapruder film. And the best about all of it is that Will Smith's laughing his ass off at the beginning of it.
Well, he does the, as I think Norton said he does the Jefferson walk off. He does the George Jefferson walk off the stage.
With the hands behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Keep your wife's name out of my effing mouth, says the guy that was on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air at 15. He was like he's from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he talks. Oh, everything about that. How would a regular guy act here? Well, I suppose he'd slap him, and then he would George Jefferson walk off the stage, and then he would speak in this certain way. And then everyone sat there and applauded him. They all loved it. And then he made a speech where the whole speech was about hitting Chris Rock. But it was fake.
Think about if you're Questlove this morning.
I said it yesterday.
It's true.
Well, think about if you're any... The best is these articles, like in the AV Club and stuff. They're like, hey, highlights and lowlights from the Oscars.
Like, there's one highlight.
No, one thing happened at the Oscars.
Nobody remembers anything.
Nothing else happened at the Oscars.
Do you know how big the story would have been here in Massachusetts that the best picture was filmed like over in Gloucester? Like, I mean, that would have been a huge deal. They would have been talking to the fishermen who were in the movie. They would have been everything. But none of that. Nope.
No, like the AV Club goes like so far as to like diminish the impact of the slap as if like, okay, all right, kids. You got your slap, but now let's get into the nitty-gritty. Nothing else happened except Anthony Hopkins might have farted. But other than that, nothing happened. Nothing happened. No one won an award. Nothing happened. The Oscars was that slap. And then that pitiful speech afterwards. And by the way, really tough guys open hand slap people and then start bawling. Like right after and have to have their friends come over and like console them.
I thought, what a tough guy. I thought of the thousands of different ways that he could have handled that better. Like even if he slapped him, and for some reason if he slapped him and then sat down and just didn't yell anything, like I almost don't think it would have been as bad, but it was the yelling that made things like that 10 times worse where he tried to act extra tough.
Plus that, just the way he said it, all right, right. Will, like you're so street.
But then if he would have just gone on stage after he won the award, which is still crazy that they let him up there.
Yeah, they didn't kick him out for hitting a guy.
Well, I think Kimmel said last night, it's like the drunk uncle who goes and ruins the entire wedding and then leaves and is allowed to come back and make a toast.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Gets up in front of the whole room. Glasses in the air, everybody.
But all seriousness, guys.
Right. He ruins the wedding and is allowed to come back.
Yeah, like I know I assaulted a couple people, but yeah. But I really wanted to get my two cents in about the lovely couple.
Yeah. That's right, without apologizing. Sure. Without saying, this hasn't been my best day, but here, let's focus
It's all the people that went he's really famous. I don't know what we can do. Yeah. I mean, he's far more famous than Chris Rock. I don't think that we can do anything. Because every tough guy, you know, Rich, there's a million, he could have not cried. I mean, that's the main
thing. Bursting into tears is a little off-putting.
He cried, by the way, like after he hit him.
During the commercial break and stuff. Like, I mean, if he would have walked up there like and spoke like a normal human being, which he is not, so it's a lot to ask.
Yes, he's a Scientology robot.
He's weird. But if he would have gone up there and just said, all right, I need to start off by saying my actions were really out of line. He goes, you know, sometimes you see red when someone insults a member of your family that you love, and I love my wife more than anything, and
especially
I'm sorry in that
when
moment.
She's knee deep in another dude.
I mean, and then you should have said that, and then I have this rage thinking about her with this other man, and the way I'm just completely being treated like a total and complete joke.
And then this is a whole beard affair anyway.
If you said that,
yeah.
But honestly,
if he went up and went, I'm gay.
I mean, I would say
then no one could say anything.
Well, then it's like one of those movies where just like you think the biggest twist has happened and it is not.
Yeah. I mean, if he went up there and he went like, guys, honestly, I've been harboring this secret for a very long time. I'm a homosexual. Things have gotten crazy. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say that now. I hope my family's been very supportive during all of this. Now the Scientology people can release everything I said during those things where you have to hold the handles. What are those things called? The Zork test or something?
No, they're testing for thetans.
Yes.
I've done one of those before.
Chip, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so I think Will Smith may be right here. I used to work on a subset of Vivid Pictures up in San Bernardino, and I got my start as the actual puke bucket guy.
Yes.
After the gentlemen would complete their job. It's a thing. There's some sort of involuntary reaction, and it's common with certain people. And yeah, I think he's telling the truth, and I think we have to respect Will Smith for the cuckolding, pukey McGillicuddy climax guy that he is.
Yeah, I mean, Peter North was notorious on sets for vomiting.
Now, did the bucket have a Vivid logo on the side of it?
That's right. In case you get the camera shot right afterwards.
Well, what gives? Why was this not in the film?
Yeah, is this something new you're into?
Yes, perhaps.
DA, that's according to the internet that I do not want on my bookmarks.
Yuck. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Ugh. I don't know. There's a million ways he could have handled it, like just sat there. And taking the joke, and not hit him.
Just the longer Chris Rock doesn't say a word, the more it has got to be killing Will Smith.
He's not gonna. He can't. I mean, he's got to be furious at him. The number one thing is that he heckled him on worldwide TV.
If I had to predict anything, is that tomorrow night when he steps on stage in Boston,
I hope it's scorched earth.
It's going to be scorched earth on Will. It's
yeah,
not
no, that's
be
my point.
Anything to do?
No,
like,
of course.
He's going to go. All right, let's talk about you.
Let's start the set. Let's like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Rock, and it's 20 minutes of that right at the start.
Yeah, he's going to go like, hey, have you heard the news or something like that? And then, I would imagine that, Yeah, I imagine he's going to take you through.
Great.
He's not going to even need to practice it. He's just going to get up there and be like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Let me just talk. Let's go through everything.
Yep. I'll take you through the whole night. But no, he shouldn't say anything, and he should certainly not accept an apology. There's no way.
Because
it's hard enough telling jokes in front of an international audience and a bunch of celebrities in a room. He doesn't need people heckling him and taking a, you know, and I mean, let alone hitting him. But it's just the idea that they heckled him. All right. There you go. Well, I was a little upset that nothing else happened yesterday, but, it was a Monday. People probably still hung over from the Oscars. And, the devil comes to you when you're at your high. I mean, just know that. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything's slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris Rock has not apologized. Every apology you're reading is fake.
Yep. That is, people are saying that, take a look, he put it on Instagram, and no, there's a fake one going around. He has not said a word yet.
No, he's not going to apologize.
No.
You can't. You can't do that to other comedians. You can't create a line where you can't make fun of people. You can't do that. You can't apologize because some guy went crazy. No, he can't. He would be doing a disservice to his comedic brethren, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, are you guys concerned about Bill Belichick here? He is, he's taking matters into his own hands.
Well,
what's right is left.
Did you see Charlotte Wilder? She, who we have on the show a lot. She is Johnny on the spot. Somehow did an investigation, and she has two pictures side by side. She put, here's Bill Belichick speaking to the media recently at the owners' meeting in Palm Beach, and here he is 2 years ago at Gronk's beach party, Miami. Looks like the man has a Florida shirt.
Yeah, I saw this. Oh, my.
Belichick's got his own Florida shirt.
So you're rich enough to buy something a little different.
You guys noticed that he wasn't in the coach's picture.
He was late. I know. I saw that. He was hot-footing it over there and was just too late to be there.
And who was he
just
with?
Missed it.
Who was he with when he was
Matt
hot?
Patricia, Matt Patricia, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, him and Patricia are like people. Let me tell you about my best friend.
Even better, I remember seeing tweets from Tom Curran and Mike Reese, who got there early on Sunday morning and were showing pictures of the beach. First person I saw, boots on the ground, Matt Patricia.
But it's just Patricia and Bill.
My God. He's a walk-around guy. He is a secretary.
No, this is embarrassing. I completely disagree. I think that they're like best friends. And that Bill just like, dude, they were chugging beers after the Jets game. They were, they were just having the time of their lives.
Burge is upset. Wait a minute, this is the guy I hang out with. He's my guy.
Just walking around.
Yeah.
I don't know how odd a couple they are.
It's true. They're big,
well,
overweight football
idol
guys. One guy still. Does Patricia still walk around with the pencil behind his ear, even when he's casual?
Well, I'm sure he does.
That would be with a baseball hat.
You know what was kind of weird, and this is just something that I don't know if you should be terrified as a Patriots fan or it should put you at ease, but just how much chill confidence he had in how his coaching staff is set up right now, when everyone from the outside looking in is going, dude, this is an absolute cluster F. Like, what do you have here? And he's like, yeah, we don't really have names for positions around. You know, everyone's just kind of going
to
be helping.
Well, the book on a young quarterback is to have the least amount of continuity as possible.
And it works so well for all the teams we've made fun of over the last 20 years.
Yeah, you really want to have, and there's nothing he can do about McDaniels leaving, but then just
get an offensive coordinator, an offensive guy.
Yeah, like
get a guy you're familiar with. You know, tell Bill O'Brien, we'll pay you whatever you want. Just come here and keep going with the kid.
I think he probably wanted Bill O'Brien, but but Saban wouldn't let him go.
But think about the guy he brought in Joe Judge. I mean, if you want to point at a situation that went the opposite of the way you want it to go, look at the quarterback situation over the last couple of years in New York. I mean, does anybody want anything close to what happened there? And that was under Joe Judge's eyes and under, you know, it was a regression
and
in the quarterback position.
And if you'll recall, the first year there, they gave him Jason Garrett because they gave him a guy specifically to work with a young quarterback. Now, he fired Garrett after a season. But, I mean, they even installed the guy. Because say what you will about Jason Garrett and his ability to be a head coach, it's not great, but I'm sure he's decent at working, or at least a professional when it comes to working with quarterbacks.
Bill has been right about just about everything coaching wise over the last 20 years. He's immensely successful, best head coach ever. But I mean, to talk to the rest of us as though we are complete idiots for not understanding this charted course of having no offensive or defensive coordinators, having coaches on opposite sides of the ball that they've spent most of their careers on. I mean, this hasn't worked for anyone in the history of the National Football League, and now Bill insists this is going to happen, and everything is fine. He's Kevin Bacon at the end of Animal House. All is well! Yeah, it doesn't look that way.
He don't believe in titles. Because I'm not big on titles.
I mean, this is...
And then they go, who's going to be calling plays? And he's like, well, it's going to be a long time. You don't have to worry about that for a long time. Well, that seems like a Belichickian answer.
That's right.
We don't have to worry about it for a while, which is exactly what he's thinking.
Now we're going to have Bill with the play sheet, you know, with the laminated thing over his mouth, talking into the headphones. I'm sure that's what we're going to
have. I wonder if he has any nephews or nieces that he could bring into the program. Because I wonder what this coaching staff, I thought about it yesterday, and I'm wondering seriously how much these guys are getting paid. Because he doesn't have to pay Judge, he doesn't have to pay Patricia, I don't think they probably have to pay his kids much. This whole thing is being run on the cheap. But if it's one thing if you have Brady, and who really cares who's the offensive coordinator, it's another thing where you have a young quarterback where continuity is everything.
Sure. Wouldn't it be great if Robert Kraft sat in that uncomfortable chair in Belichick's office saying, I just spent $250 million on free agents and I'm not spending anything more. Well, you want coaches? Feel free to hire coaches. I'm not spending any more money on anybody.
He's about to start talking, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's true.
Robert Kraft does his interviews morning, probably in a couple of minutes. And so, I mean, this is one of those times where there's a lot of obviously interesting questions to ask him, because if it comes down to the money and the lack of money that they're spending, he's the guy. He's the guy you want to speak to. And I have to be honest, you take a look at what the Patriots have right now, ready for them for the season. And listen, the free agency is not over. They can still make moves. Obviously, the draft is going to be interesting. But if they go into the season with what looks similar to what we know right now with the coaching staff and the team, if they find any success, this might be Bill Belichick's masterpiece. I mean, with the AFC beefing up the way that it has, and the division as well.
Coaching chaos. I mean, you didn't bring in any impact free agents. You have, you know, your offensive line is being remade on the fly.
Oh,
If they finish with the same record as last year, this is his Mona Lisa.
If they finish over 500, it's going to be quite impressive. And it's not because of the lack of money they spent in free agency. It's
everyone got better around them, and you got worse.
Exactly.
Yeah, you lost very important pieces, including your coaches.
Unless you hit batting practice homer after batting practice homer in the draft somehow this year. And the two or three guys at the top of your draft come in and are amazing. That's another way to do this.
But if it works, man.
I mean, you're asking a lot of a third round pick to come in and be a star.
Of course you are. Well, he could be another Ramondre Stevenson.
And by the way, Pioli is a complete Belichick apologist, so I refuse to listen to anything he says because he's still like, well, you know, what they did is that what Warren Buffett says is when other people are panicking, that's when you should buy. And when other people are spending, that's when you shouldn't buy. And it's like, well, a lot of good that did him. A lot of good it did him. I mean, this, you're looking at this, but then Judon's going to be, not Judon, but the tight end's going to be here for the offseason.
Jonnu Smith. Yeah.
He's going to be
here. That's the first. He wasn't here last year, and that was clearly the reason he was bad, is because he wasn't here during the summer.
But even if you have the natural progression that you're hoping for, and a lot of these guys, like, you know, Mac Jones, and you know, we're talking about Christian Barmore, and a lot of these young players, even if you see that, I don't know how you can still make up for the lost amount of talent that you had with, obviously, J.C. Jackson being gone.
No, they're going to play zone. They're going to be fine.
Well, I mean, that's...
They're going to play zone.
By the way, the spin on the Malcolm Butler stuff is pretty funny, too. Yes. Like, there's now people go, you know what? I watched some tape of Malcolm Butler before. Yeah, and, man, he's got what it takes.
Yes. Like, 2020, he's the same guy.
Yeah, I'm not joking. I read that article yesterday. Thank you for sending that because I read that almost incredulous. Like, well, first of all, it's 2 years ago. Second of all, he hasn't played for the longest time. And third of all, he's old.
Yeah, and Belichick's like, yeah, we, like, to your point, he's like, well, yeah, we got, like, you know, young guys that we're looking for them to take the next step. And I'm like, what young guys?
Well, even if the young guys
Barmore, Mac Jones, I'll give you Jonnu Smith. Because he's technically young.
Ramondre Stevenson. Kendrick Bourne. Michael Onwenu.
Young.
Maybe he's talking about Duggar on the defensive side.
Sure.
And Jonathan Jones as a slot corner. And
He was referring to his free agent signings. And they're not young. And I'm giving you players. I'll give you a couple players that other guys won't give you as being young. Because they're not young.
I mean, the most important
one
is Mac Jones. The most important one's Mac Jones.
Yes, of course he's your quarterback. I mean, he's not set up to succeed.
But my point is, even if you get the maximum out of their progression in the second year, I don't know if it still makes up for the lack of talent and the rest of the AFC beefing up around you. And the as I said, having Josh McDaniels being gone is a massive blow to have a young quarterback.
And by the way, like, how much more do you want Duggar to do? Duggar's good, but like, what more? Like, what more can he do?
To take over and be the quarterback of the defense like McCourty is to
McCourty's still there.
No, I understand that. But play a lot more than McCourty.
Because I'm telling you that Duggar's good. I don't know. Yeah. So I don't know really what more Duggar can do. Like, is he going to be Ronnie Lott?
Well, that's the only progression. I mean, he's not going to turn into a Pro Bowl player. I'm trying to think here along with you and say what would be the progression.
No, that's what I'm saying. And we're having a conversation.
To be the leader of the defense is the only thing I can think
of. Right. So, I mean, you're talking about guys that are good. I mean, you're talking about players that are already good. I don't, you know.
I just don't know.
But there's like, and I'm reading the same stuff, Rich. Like, well, you know, Aguilar is like, no, he's not.
No.
What's making you think that Nelson Aguilar is going to become like a really good receiver? Like what about it? It could say it happens. Anything could happen. Anything. Mm-hmm. It's possible he's going to play football. But like, what evidence is there?
So it just said, one of our listeners said, Bill planning for the season like my parents planning for my bar mitzvah in the 90s. Me, can we have a laser show? My parents, we'll get a disco ball at Kmart and you can shine a flashlight at it.
Oh, but what was the theme? Was the theme we don't have any money? I mean, what was on the t-shirt?
I don't know why I find that funny. That's awesome.
What was your theme of your bar mitzvah?
You didn't have one, did you, John?
No,
John.
He didn't even want to say it into the microphone.
I didn't have one.
It was the one.
I didn't have one.
That's right.
My kids didn't have them either, but COVID was the...
Oh, okay.
And we couldn't get our deposit back because the guy's just like, I don't have it.
It's John Flashlight. It was Saturday Night Fever. That was the theme.
I mean,
everyone showed up with flashlights.
Maybe they spent it all on t-shirts.
Right.
Because you got to have the theme. I mean, it's 9 times out of 10, it's baseball or basketball.
That's a good point.
But other than that.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? No, it's concerning. And to say it's not is crazy.
No. It's concerning. And it is weird just how chill he is about all of it. And I am looking forward to hearing what Robert Kraft says. We'll play some of that
Kraft
next hour.
Kraft is a lot more likely to say something.
Yeah, because he has given nuggets before.
Well, yeah, he wasn't happy about how much money they spent last year.
Well, he was definitely cautious, like, this better work.
The more I think about it, the more I believe that he just told Bill, there's no more money for assistant coaches. We'll bring back Joe Judge. You don't have to pay him.
Oh, no,
we'll bring back Patricia.
He wants his friends around him. He wants his guys. I'm telling you, Patricia's around because he's his... As much as anything, I believe Bill thinks that Patricia has a great football mind? Yes, I do believe that. Do I think he's right? Bill knows far more about football than me. I know he was a horrendous head coach. Maybe that was just his inability to relate to players or the media.
Well,
maybe X's and O's, the Lions were like the greatest X's and O's team of all time, but they just couldn't put it together. But I do know that as much as anything, I mean, they're thick as thieves. I mean, those two.
Yeah.
Like, why is like Andy Reid's not walking around with someone? Like, the Jimmy Fallon guy from Miami's not walking around with anybody. It's just Patricia and Bill, like, hot-footing it to the picture of the coaches. Like, was Patricia going to get into the photo? Was he going to be like, hey, if I'm going to do this, you're going to have to let my buddy in, too. And then it reads, like, you're invited, but your friend can't come.
Yeah.
And he's like, no way, Jose. And if I'm a Patriot fan, that's concerning.
He's your new Ernie Adams.
That's right. Without the brain. He's Ernie Adams, but like, he's like, hey, put it on the corporate card. I mean, you want to blow this popsicle stand and hit some Mai Tais? I like you think that he's a secretary. He's no secretary. He's a paid friend. I'll tell you that right now.
That's even more depressing, actually. But all right.
I mean, the guy's 70 years old. He likes his guys, and they're cheap, and so he puts his guys around them. All right, we'll be right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain it.
Honey.
Did you just call him honey?
I did.
This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
We'll know in the next few days. Just evaluate some surgical options and look at those over the next few days, and we'll know more then.
Is he certainly going to have surgery, or is this something he's going to plate?
No surgery. But, I mean, it changes the dynamic, obviously, how important he is for us and what he does for us. But that's why we feel confident with getting Daniel in and for these reasons.
There's Mr. Adoka talking about Rob Williams. Not good news because, again, I heard Matt Barnes on ESPN, and he was talking about how he had the same injury. And when he came back, he was like 10%. So, like, this requires some time. And if I'm Robert Williams, I'm 24 years old, I'm starting to play well. I'm taking as much time as I need.
There's no question. And from what I'm, you know, we've been learning about this is that there's basically two different options right now. There is the short-term one, which can get him back on the court. And they're saying 4 to 6 weeks, you know, maybe second or third round of the playoffs if the Celtics are lucky to get that far, or fortunate rather. But if it means choosing between that route where, as you said, Fred, it might not be the perfect fix that you want, but just kind of a temporary hold, why the hell would you waste this guy's future and potentially ruin this guy when you know that you have a star right now playing center for your team? He's become everything you've wanted him to be, and you're going to have this guy for a long time. You take the time, as tempting as it is, and as great as this team is playing, and as much as everyone thinks that they have a legitimate shot of doing something real this year, you can't risk it. This dude's going to be here a while. Get it done right. Let him take the entire offseason, if that's what it means, and just cross your fingers that the magic of Ime Udoka can turn Daniel Tice and Al Horford and maybe even Grant Williams into something that can make up for that lost Robert Williams.
It's not even close.
I agree. But, I mean, right now, that's his only choice.
No,
he's got to figure out how to make all of that work.
You talk about it being tempting, and it is, because when Robert Williams is in there, he changes that defense. If you watch the game last night, Pascal Siakam went to the basket about 17,000 times and scored. He scored 40 points, 30 or 34 of which were in the paint.
Yep.
So, I mean, Robert Williams is there. The game is drastically different. And he turns a good defense, and the Celtics were good defensively for long stretches of time last night. He turns a good defense into a special defense, and that makes a second-round knockout team an Eastern Conference Finals team or an NBA Finals team.
Well,
they're not special without him.
Think about the difference between that Miami series with the Celtics when they got bounced to the Eastern Conference Finals. And Bam Adebayo was the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have had a guy like Robert Williams playing the way Robert Williams is, that could have made all the difference in the world. On top of that, Fred, when's the last time the Celtics had a big man that people feared?
Right.
I mean,
he's second in the NBA in block shots per game. He is without a doubt one of the 10 best defensive players in the league. He's borderline first team all defensive and one of the handful of guys in consideration for defensive player of the year when healthy.
So now
that's how good he is.
So now that Ime Udoka or Brad Stevens rather deal to get Daniel Theis here means everything. And let's hope that he can make it work. Let's hope it can happen. You still have a team that is firing at all cylinders offensively, but John, you said it off air earlier. The defense is what drove the offense.
This team scores off turnovers, off their ability to stop teams. That's how they gain momentum. Brad Stevens has always said, I'd rather make stops instead of being forced to make shots. Defense is this team's identity, and the defense isn't nearly as good without Robert Williams out there. And Ime Udoka can scheme things up. I mean, I think Toronto had over 40 points in the paint in the first half, and the Celtics completely shut them down in there without Robert Williams. But it's different when you have to face Giannis or Embiid in the second round of a playoffs instead of Pascal Siakam. There's no big guy that you fear in Toronto, but you're going to have to face a couple of monsters in round two of the playoffs, right? And or Adebayo. And it's really, really difficult to beat those teams with Robert Williams. Without, it's infinitely harder.
All right, so we'll be back.
Fred, judgments
need to be made. I've seen it in the system.
Nice!
Fart will be in session!
A little fart court for you coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.